Sportsman this weekend, Roman. Got to get it back on track.
Yeah. Stick around for the wrap. We've got Darren Beedman, Tommy Berry, Kim Waugh, and Ashton Downing all coming up with Paul and Kev. So stick around for that. Have a great day, Roman.
You too, Jimmy.
The Labor Party's election campaign, saying it was full of lies and deceit, Constitution. Ms Bishop has told delegates opposition leader Bill Shorten has acted dishonestly and can't be trusted.
For Labor, integrity doesn't exist, and they were prepared to gloat about the number of people they misled.
A motion against changing the Constitution to recognise Indigenous Australians is expected to be voted on at the state conference today. WA Premier Colin Barnett's already indicated he doesn't support the motion, which was put forward by the Young Liberal movement, while WA Labor leader Mark McGowan wrote to Malcolm Turnbull asking him to make the WA branch withdraw it. Two men and a child have been rescued by helicopter after their tinny washed onto rocks northeast of Darwin. The group was rescued from Glide Point after triggering a distress signal on Saturday evening, according to CareFlight. One man suffered wrist injuries and was flown to Royal Darwin in a stable condition. Police have found two boys who went missing after taking a 65-kilometre taxi trip from Toowoomba towards Brisbane early last week. The boys, aged 10 and 12, were last seen on Monday afternoon at a shopping centre in Wilsonton. Police say the boys have been found and they're both safe and well. The aid group Médecins Sans Frontières says at least 10 children have been killed and 21 injured in northern Yemen. A Saudi-led coalition has been waging war on Houthi militants who say the deaths were caused by a Saudi-led airstrike on a school. At least 6,400 people have been killed in the conflict, around half of them civilians. A German far-right leader says her country should send rejected asylum seekers and illegal immigrants to two islands outside Australia, which appears to reference Australia's asylum seeker policies. Alternative for Germany party leader Frauke Petri says illegal migrants and asylum seekers whose applications are rejected should be accommodated on the two islands outside Europe that are protected by the United Nations, although she didn't name the two islands she had in mind. There have been scenes of jubilation overnight in the Syrian city of Manbij after it was freed from IS occupation. Men have been seen cutting their beards and women burning the niqab that they were compelled to wear by the extremists. The coalition began its offensive to retake the city about 2 months ago. Local resident Sadiq Jabul says the local civilians were treated horrifically by the terror group.
They burned everything, buildings and shops. They left nothing. They also took away many people as human shields, including one of our families.
In health news, thousands of Australians with type 2 diabetes will soon be able to have just one injection a week instead of up to 14 and save up to $1,600 a year under a new pharmaceutical benefits scheme listing. The drug exenatin is expected to help diabetes 2 sufferers better manage their treatment. Health Minister Susan Lee says the medication is just one of a number of drugs being subsidised from next month.
The new listings take effect on September the 1st, and this is a demonstration of our government's determination without fear or favour to list new medicines.
This is Air News. To Rio firstly, and cycling great Anna Meers has won bronze in the women's Keirin. Meers couldn't overhaul Dutch rider Ellis Vlieghte, who won the gold medal, while Rebecca James of Great Britain came through on the outside to take silver. It's Meers' sixth Olympic medal, making her the most decorated Australian cyclist in Games history. The women's basketball team needed another second-half comeback to prevail, overcoming a 13-point deficit to beat Belarus 74-66. The win sees Australia close out the group stage of the competition unbeaten and sets up a knockout quarter-final against Serbia. It was a case of so near and yet so far for the two Australians in the men's skeet competition at the Games. Keith Ferguson missed a six-way shoot-off for the final by one target after a clean final round, with Paul Adams a further two shots back. Gold went to Italian Gabriel Rossetti, silver to Swede Marcus Svensson, and bronze to independent Olympic athlete Abdullah Al-Rashidi. In AFL, with a finals berth still within reach, Melbourne coach Paul Roux says he's more keen to focus on other milestones. The Demons' 40-point win over Port Adelaide last night marked the first time they've beaten the Power in Adelaide since 2000. It's also the first time under Roos the Demons have won three games in a row, following last week's triumph over Hawthorn and a tight win over Gold Coast in round 19. Other winners yesterday, Hawthorn, West Coast, Brisbane and Sydney. And Jared Hayne is back in the NRL and says he's got that 2009 feeling all over again. Hayner raised any doubts about how long it'll take him to warm to the task as he kicked a brilliant field goal to seal a nail-biting 19-18 win over West Tigers at Campbelltown yesterday. Other winners yesterday, Souths and St George. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the Traffic Report. Morning. A burst water main on the Carl Expressway just past the Harbour Bridge has one city-bound lane closed. Very heavy traffic in Bondi with the city to surf well and truly underway. There are road closures between Bondi and the CBD. At the airport, still a struggle inbound to the international terminal on Marsh Street and Airport Drive. It's a heavy run through Neutral Bay and Mossman on Military Road towards the city. And in Epping, all lanes are back open now on Carlingford Road. Crews have finished clearing up after an earlier crash on the Hume Highway in Liverpool too. How much do you spend on printer ink? Get an Epson Eco tank printer, and with its unique ink tank system, you'll get up to 2 years ink included. Conditions apply. Search Epson Eco Tank for details. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun. The mare races to the lead. Lucia Valentina, what a slashing win in the Queen Elizabeth.
It's time for your complete wrap of the week's feature racing around New South Wales and interstate. Welcome to the wrap.
And good morning at 9:06. The wrap, Kevin Wolfe here, joined by our racing and form guru, Paul Joyce. Paul, good morning to you. And might I say thank you for bypassing the City to Surf Fun Run today to come in and do the wrap. I know you were keen.
No, the things I do for this show, Kev, saved myself a lot of pain and agony there, at least for the first 400 metres, then it would have been done and dusted, I think. No, so a great day out there yesterday at Rose Hill. Beautiful weather, track raced really well. Interesting day on the punt. Oh, I nearly hit a huge one there early in the day with a horse called Tibby Darbo, who I spotted in the yard in the highway handicap. And quick look at the form, I shook my head, and then I looked up at the price and saw 100-1. So I backed my better judgment, went in and backed it each way. And to tell you the truth, when they turned for home, he was held up behind a couple of horses, didn't look to be going anywhere. And the guy in front of me was the strapper for the winner, and he started cheering 300 metres out as it came hurtling down the outside, and he didn't stop until they'd hit the line. So all my attention was on him. I was very happy for him and trainer Barry Ratcliffe, who was his first Rose Hill winner. And it was only probably a minute after the race that Darren Flindell said, "Oh, it's a photo for second." And he said, "I think Tibby Darbo's got it." And he could have blown me down with a feather. I thought we were midfield or worse. So to finish second at 100-1, $23 the place. Very good collect to start the day. But
is that what you got, 23? Did you pay 20 on the 19 on the fixed in the end? So
yeah, 23 nice fixed for the place. So it was a good result. But when we spoke to Joan Jones Jr., the jockey, he said if I'd got out earlier, I would have won for sure. So then I wasn't feeling so good. But
Sarajevo,
it was a good one. Sarajevo. Look, I tipped that to Bensley and Quinny yesterday on the morning radio on the way to the races. And look, it was a bold sort of bet because he's let punters down so many times in the past, but he trialled so well. I knew he'd run a big race, and he did. Unfortunately, His Majesty got that split and dived through to knock me off. So it was a day of near misses yesterday, but still a profitable day on the pun, and that's what we try to do.
Well, I'll tell you who nailed it yesterday. He's a wonderful race caller, Darren Flindell, but the last race there with Where Sure that went from last to first, a masterful ride by Blake Shin. But just listen to Darren Flindell here yesterday. Wonderful calling.
And Where Sure's last of all, they thunder up to the turn in the last, and then Costanati heads off Rutherglen, Kanachi the outside, followed by Night Rocker, Roden Driver, further back to O'Reilly's Revenge, Salt House, of Point Percy, and Ever So Natural. In Costanati travelling well for Pena. In Costanati three in front of Kanachi. Where Shaw gives away a big start but runs on. It's in Costanati at the 150. Three lengths clear from Kanachi. Where Shaw is rattling home. In Costanati in front. Where Shaw is it still a chance? Yes! Big win! Where Shaw got up to nail in Costanati. Wow, what a finish.
Wow, what a call. Just the way Darren so measured, and he built and built and built and built. It was just wonderful to listen to.
Yeah, it was. And look, watching the race live, you know, Costanati was home for all money. You put the glasses down and off to the collect queue, but Where Sure for favourite packers especially came flying out there late for Blake Shin, and as Darren said, Blake got the timing spot on there.
Yeah.
And that was a good way for favourite punters to close off the meeting anyway. If you're an Incostanati fan backing up from 7 days ago, you can probably consider yourself a bit unlucky, but I'm sure there's still plenty in the pockets for those punters.
Now, before we get to our first guest, Mark Van Gessel, I'd just like to make a shout out to another one of our country venues. Yesterday at Gilgandra, a non-tab meeting was the running race for was the Collie Cup. Now, Collie is a village 100 k's north of Dubbo, 20 minutes from Gilgandra, population of 100. The $7,000 collie cup was on yesterday, picked up by a six-year-old mare by the name of, in fact, that's not, that was at Casino at Gilgandra yesterday. It was Spirited Edition. Greg Ryan got home. Sixth win from 86 starts. The eight-year-old gelding worth 130 grand in prize money now. Spirited Edition is by Bel Esprit, but the Collie Hotel sponsored the cup. They would have been celebrating last night with a population of 100, the village of Collie. Collie Cup Day at Gilgandra, well done. Alrighty, on the show this morning, we are talking about barrier trials, Paul. We've promoted this pretty heavily during the week, and what you can read out of barrier trials, and we'll go through that with a few of our guests as well. We have Kim Waugh coming up, Tommy Berry, Darren Beedman later this hour, and also the extraordinary training performance of Ashton Downing, trainer of LA Tara, that won yesterday in Morfordville by 10 or 11 lengths.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's going to be an interesting show, and I think looking at trials, particularly this time of year heading into the spring, there are so many trials happening, and we're looking at these Group 1 horses coming back, where they are in their campaign. So not only will I give you my thoughts on what I look for in trials, but we'll get the thoughts of experts like Darren Beedman and all those champion gallopers he would have ridden leading into the spring, and what he felt for in a trial, and when he knew that these horses were in for a big preparation. And even Tommy Berry, if we get him on early this morning, the way he spoke about Star Turn coming through its trials into the San Domenico yesterday, he would have sworn that horse was going to win that race no matter who turned up in the San Domenico. That's how good he Star Turn the field was giving him in the track work and trials leading into yesterday. So it's a very interesting little point, and it can find you the winners. Sarajevo yesterday, oh so close coming off the trials. But in saying that, His Majesty's trial was also terrific leading into his first up run. So that I did score a little bit of that Quinella. So watching the trials, it definitely can pay.
All right, well, let's get into it. It's 11 past nine on the wrap. As usual, Chief Steward from Racing New South Wales joins us, Mark Van Gestel. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin. Morning, Paul.
Mark, first up, Capitalist yesterday afternoon. Obviously, when from a steward's point of view, when you get such a short price favourite that so many people, admittedly an easing favourite, but so many people were on the favourite to run the way that he did, what sort of emphasis and inquiries are made by the stewards after a run like that?
Oh, look, Kevin, the first port of call is to have the horse undergo a full veterinary examination, and that was completed soon after the race. And that's as a matter of routine with most horses that run disappointingly. But our senior veterinarian, Dr. Craig Suan, he was straight down to the horse having a look at it, and he seemed to pull up fine subsequent to the race. There was nothing detected that was abnormal subsequent.
Okay, so moving forward then, Capitalist, what did Blake Shin suggest to you? And after the race, what was the excuse for how he performed?
Well, basically, Kevin, he said that the horse travelled quite well behind the winner's Star Turn, and as soon as they straightened up, they pulled to the outside. He initially responded, but he said that probably in his view the excuse was twofold. Firstly, that the horse wasn't entirely comfortable in the soft track conditions, and that was quite evident when we looked at the head-on vision. You could see the horse dipped on a number of occasions, didn't seem to be comfortable in his action, and probably just wasn't comfortable to stretch out on that soft track. But also he indicated having to give weight to all the other horses in the race carrying 60 kilograms on that type of track. He just thought that they were the two things that were against Capitalist, and in his view, they were the main reasons why the horse didn't perform up to expectation.
Two other short sort of prize gallopers yesterday, Mark, that didn't figure in the placings. They both came out of the same race, Snoopy and Kangarilla Joy. Can you take us through what you sort of discovered after the race for both of those?
Yep, so with Snoopy, Paul, obviously we spoke to Tommy Berry in respect to his riding of the horse in the early part of the straight, and he followed the early leader into the straight, Hidden Warrior. He thought it was actually going to shift off the fence, and it did have the inclination to lay out, but when Hidden Warrior shifted back to the fence, he was held up in the heels of that runner and probably got out at about the 200-metre mark, but the winner, His Majesty, just had the momentum up behind him, was able to go past and win the race. But, yeah, certainly there were some excuses for Snoopy. And Kangarilla Joy, Paul, as it also bled during the running of its race, and as a consequence, it's now barred from racing for 3 months before it can come back to the track.
And the only other big thing that happened late in the week, Mark, was the announcement about Winks having the bone chip operation. There was a bit of controversy there coming from sort of most quarters that the announcement came a bit too late, particularly for punters that were betting early into the Cox plate. But, I mean, my own take on it, I can see where Chris Waller's coming from. He wouldn't want a four-month media circus. You know, Winks is the champion racehorse of Australia at the moment. So I can see where everyone's coming from there, Mark. But the way it unfolded and the way you guys put it out there, is that the standard, the stock standard way it should be done and it is done?
Well, I guess the answer is twofold, Paul. The rules only require that when the horse is nominated, accepted the race, I should say, in a race, that's when the trainer has to notify. But look, I think moving forward in those circumstances, you know, we would obviously prefer that the notification is done, you know, soon after that a surgery such as that is performed, and then we can make those notifications to the industry. And I think moving forward, that's probably how we'll look to approach those sorts of matters. But look, Chris Waller, you know, he abided by the rules that he's required to do and made that notification. But certainly we'll look to review that process and provide, you know, with anticipating providing people with that notification sooner.
Yeah, I suppose it's always that clash, isn't it? You know, you've got to try and protect the punters and give them as much information as possible, while we also have to respect and look after our owners who basically put on the show. So I'll leave that one in your capable hands, Mark. It's a bit too it's a bit too many things going on for me to sort that one out. But no, I really appreciate your time this morning. And look, it was a terrific day in general, wasn't it? The track race superbly, and you could really sense that spring was in the air.
Yeah, no doubt. And been encouraging how Rosehill has played poor, you know, in recent weeks. It's come through the winter quite well. It's got a good cover of grass on it, and you know, I'm sure it'll play well in the Run to the Rose and the Golden Rose in a few weeks' time.
Good on you, Mark. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll speak to you next week.
Great, thanks, gents.
Mark Van Gestel there, and Paul, you and I were speaking about this issue with Winks and the whole Chris Waller thing. With the operation happening in April, if Chris Waller had come out and said, "Hey, Winks is about to have this," the media circus that would have carried on for months about will she, won't she, so in some ways you can't blame him for playing his cards close to his chest.
No, look, I think the media have to take a bit of responsibility here, because we're the first ones to jump up and down saying, look, we weren't told early enough. But, as you know, if we'd had 4 months of everyone ringing Chris every day, is Winks' career over? I mean, that would have been the headline. Mm. And at the end of the day, it seems to be a fairly minor procedure, which she's come through extremely well, and it's not going to affect her performance heading into the spring. So there's really no... I can see the argument on both sides at the end of the day. And look, personally, I'm glad I don't have to make any decisions on what to do going forward.
It's the wrap at 18 past nine. San Domenico Stakes was the feature, of course, yesterday. San Domenico, a bit of history about this horse. How good was he? Fold in 1945, he won the Hobartville in 48, the Oakley Plate in 49, the Canterbury Stakes 50 and 51, the George Main Stakes in 50, Southern Cross Stakes in 50, Warwick Stakes 50-51, the Hill Stakes in 51, the All Age Stakes in 52, but the race which just, I went wow, was the Group 1 Futurity Stakes. He carried 65.5 kilos to win the Futurity Stakes, and the time was 125.2.
Wow.
Yeah, 65.5 kilos. Compare that to more recent times. Suavito, 2015, recorded 1.23, just slightly quicker than San Domenico. More Joyous has the quickest time, 121.7. Manicato in 1981, 23.1. But San Domenico, 65.5 kilos. What a performance.
Yeah, no, they carried big weights back in the day, but yeah, obviously 65.5, you just couldn't comprehend it in today's races. Obviously, we saw Capitalist with 60 yesterday, and that appeared to bring him undone, or one of the main reasons he got bought undone. And the winner there was Star Turn, and the jockey was a very confident Tommy Berry. I believe we've got a new guest on the phone.
Yeah, we do, and Tommy didn't probably ride at 65.5 kilos yesterday. Tommy, good morning to you.
No, boys, I had to ride a little bit lighter than that. How are you?
I'm well. What did you ride at yesterday?
54. So in winter time, that's quite light for me. Then over the spring and the autumn, I can obviously get down to 52 and 51 if need be.
What do you think when you hear stats like that? Carrying 65.5 kilos in a major Group One race, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's just unthinkable. Yeah, it's amazing. I was speaking to John Hawkes about it not long ago, and he was talking about the weight scale and how, you know, our midweek horses and Saturday class horses are carrying 61 kilos, and but they're Group 1 horses, and that at weight for age only have to carry 57 and 58. So it's quite weird hearing stats like that.
Let's get on to Star Turn yesterday, Tommy, because it was just a mind-blowing win, really. He was never in doubt at any stage, even though you drew that outside barrier in a tricky field. And after the race, and before the race, really, you were oozing confidence. And today we're going to talk about trials and help punters to have a what do they look for in trials. As a jockey, what told you that this horse was absolutely flying this time in?
Just his maturity. Last preparation, he was doing a lot wrong. He wanted to hang in his races. He was missing the kick sometimes. He was pulling. He was just a colt, and he didn't do much right. Where this preparation, he's come in. He's in a great frame of mind. He's a beautiful, big, relaxed colt. And in his trials, he led one trial by jumping and leading and showing great tactical speed. And then the other trial, we rode him quieter. And he relaxed and switched off beautifully and sprinted to the line. So he's one of them horses who's not just one-dimensional. You can ride him a bunch of different ways, and it's just that maturity that he's sort of brought onto this preparation, which is a big telling factor for him.
And looking at a race like the Golden Rose, would you say that's where he's sort of headed to, you know, or is he going to be kept at shorter distances?
I think probably speaking to John and Michael and Wayne, that sort of the shorter distances is the way they are heading with this bloke. They've obviously got horses like Divine Prophet and one other, I think, heading towards the Golden Rose. And this bloke, he'd be very competitive and very hard to beat in the Golden Rose, but at the moment he's sprinting so well and he's got such an electric turn of foot. I think the sprint trips are definitely not too bad for him, and I guess they've got a lot of options.
Now, what would you make of Catalyst's run? Obviously, Vancouver last year came through the slipper, ran fourth in a San Domenico's favourite. Exactly the same thing happened to Catalyst this year. What was your take watching the replays, and sort of what would you say to punters out there? Should we sack him, or should we give him another chance?
No, I'd definitely give him another chance. I wouldn't write him off yet. The Snowden team they're great trainers, and I'm sure they'll get him right. But he had to carry a big weight yesterday, and history says it's very hard to do. So yeah, it's very hard to beat history and win with those sort of weights. I think he was an exceptional two-year-old, and we've just got to wait to see if he's made that improvement into a three-year-old. We saw with Vancouver, he was a bit the same. So, he's a lovely horse anyway. He's done everything right thus far, and I'll definitely give him one more chance.
And just two other runners, we'll pick your brain from yesterday. Saddler's Lake was a real eye-catcher, and Snoopy had a bit of bad luck. What did you make of those two rides?
Yeah, well, look, Saddler's Lake, I was of the opinion that to hold a bit more of a forward spot, but full credit to Mr. Waller. He asked me to ride him quiet and get him travelling well on the bit. They didn't want to use any of his petrol up early, and they just wanted to see him hitting the line late. So, look, it wasn't a quick run affair. They wanted longer, a moderate pace, so for him to quicken up from the back like he did shows that it's the old Saddler's Lake back, because we know he's got great ability on his day, so hopefully he's in for a great prep. And Snoopy, well, I was a bit surprised to see Hidden Warrior come out and lead. He sort of surprised me out wide across the track because he's been a bit slow away in his races. So I wasn't expecting him to be where he was, and I was just stuck in a bit of a bad spot there. I thought Kangaroo Choi, being right in the market, would at least take me into the race and give a kick so I could pull off its back, but it didn't find anything. So we just had to pull around their backs, and he did a great job to sprint and still going to run fourth. He was pretty much off a standing still from the 200, so he's done a great job, and he's obviously going to get 1400 a little bit further, so he's in for a great preparation as well.
Tommy, before we let you go, do you pay much attention to your stats in your career in terms of wins and the like, venues?
Oh, not too much. I just take every week as it comes. I'm always out to improve and just ride winners and ride big race winners as well, so... No, I'm not much into my stats. I'm into everyone else's stats a bit more, though.
Okay. When was your first Group 1?
My first Group 1 was the Golden Rose on Epaulette Peter Snowden. So.
That's correct. Yeah. How many Group 1s have you won all up, you reckon?
I'm not sure. It'd have to be close to 20, maybe.
25.
25.
Yeah. Give him a tick.
I'll give that a tick. How many Group 1s on Chautauqua?
Four.
How many Group 1s on Designs on Rome?
Five.
Five?
or four.
Well,
four
I've got four. I have to give you a beep there. But that's close enough. What horse have you had the most wins on?
That's a difficult one. I guess Designs and Rain would have to be close to it.
What about Karuta Queen?
What did I win at? One, two, three, four, five. Did I win about six on her?
You did. Yeah. There we go. Nicely done. What's been your most successful venue in Sydney?
I'd have to say probably Canterbury or Randwick.
Canterbury. Spot on. Nicely done. Overall, how many wins, Tommy? Give us a figure. Pull one out.
I reckon it would be close to the 800 mark.
846. That's close enough. Nicely done.
Nailed that quiz, Tommy. He absolutely smashed it out of the park for someone who doesn't know the stats. Please. Yeah. He's running as dead as Ray Thomas was in that quiz they just had before this show.
The only one I did sort of know was the how many wins, because I think Clint Payne came up to me the other day and he sent it through how many wins I've had and how many wins my brother's had. So that's the only reason I knew that one.
All righty. Tommy, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for chatting to us on The Wrap.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thank you, mate. Tommy Berry at 25 past nine. Kevin Wolfe here with Paul Joyce. Still to come this hour, Paul. We're going to chat with Gary Crisp, get the time form ratings out of yesterday. Kim Wall's going to have a chat to us. The extraordinary performance of LA Tara at Morfordville, the trainer Ashton Downing, who I believe's a fairly light-hearted ball of fun from your experience with Ashton. You've spoken to her on the phone.
I'm looking forward to getting her on. No, she'll be good fun.
And also Darren Beavan still to come on The Wrap at 27 past nine.
This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun. The mare races to the lead. Lucia Valentina, what a slashing win in the Queen Elizabeth.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Coming up on Monday on the Big Sports Breakfast, live from Brazil, we'll chat to Jacqueline Magnate for all the latest sports updates. Corey Parker talks NRL and assesses the top eight with three rounds to go and your chance to win a $100 cash card.
Sky Sports Radio has racing covered from all angles. Get the latest trots action every Tuesday morning at 10:30 with On The Pace. Interviews with trainers and drivers. Tips for the feature racing. On The Pace, every Tuesday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man.
The man from Mazda.
Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated, and with over 300 new Mazdas in stock, has the best selection and the best prices. Whether it's a VT50 Ute from our Mazda Ute Centre, the stylish Mazda 3, or the Mazda CX-5, an SUV like no other, Penrith Mazda Centre has all the choices. Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
At Bing Lee, buy any Beko dishwasher and receive a bonus year's supply of Fairy dishwashing tablets. A fantastic bonus from Beko and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in store for details. On Sky Sports Radio, you're listening to The Wrap.
Yes, it's The Wrap at 28 past nine. Time now to have a look at the time form ratings from the big races yesterday. Gary Crisp from Racing and Sports joins us. Gary, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Kevin. Morning, Paul. How are you?
Mate, we're well. Give us your thoughts on the two major ones yesterday, the San Domenico and the Peter Lawrence, the PB Lawrence Stakes.
Yeah, look, I think San Domenico is a very good renewal. I mean, it's only a small field, smallest field we've had for some years, but I think the quality was there, and we saw Star Turn, I think, benefit from maturity and, has run to a very good figure there yesterday of 116, which makes it one of the better run San Domenico stakes in recent times. For example, Japanese, he ran 115 last year, and before him we had horses like Fox Wedge and Schnitzeland ran about the same sort of number. So I think all the signs are there that it was quite a good renewal. The sectional splits were very fast on our standards. The race was about 0.2 seconds inside standard, and the last 600 was strong. So whichever way you cut the race up, I think it stacks up. So which is a very good sign going forward for the 3-year-olds.
What does Capitalist rate out of the race, Gary?
He rated 116, which 114, which is about similar to a drop-off that Vancouver ran last year. He went into the race similarly rated to Capitalist, and also had to carry the 60 kilos penalty. And I think that just giving away that 4 kilos is you know, quite significant. And basically, he's ran a similar sort of drop-off in figure, but you know, obviously wouldn't be giving up on him yet. I mean, I think he'll probably take plenty out of improvement out of the race as well, and back under set weights, I think you'd expect him to improve off that. But Star Turn's a different horse this time, and that's for sure. I mean, last time in, he was a big goofy guy who did a lot of things wrong and didn't have any luck in those big races, and yet wasn't far off Capitalist in the slipper. So no surprise to us that he was able to do what he did yesterday when he had the 4 kilos weight swing.
And how do we line up the Melbourne form there, the Lawrence Peter Lawrence Stakes there, with Giacchino Bay and Tylee Platinum filling the placings? You know, from a Sydney side looking down there, you'd think, well, it's really only glorified handicap form.
Wow, it is. I mean, this race has basically been destroyed since they upgraded the Memsie Stakes, because the quality in this race, and we can see it with our field strength values. I mean, if you go back to the years when Hubie Got You Shootout won this race, the field strength values then for the race was about 8 or 9 pounds stronger than it is now. So, and you know, I mean, it's definitely suffered. And you're absolutely right. Yesterday, the field strength figure there was, you know, very low, around about 115 mark, which you've got to go like Star Rolling in 2014 ran a similar number. But like I say, you know, in the years when this used to be a kickoff race for a lot of the spring horses, that, you know, you saw the good quality horses. Now you don't see that. And yesterday's field, I think, was just dreadful. There's no way that could be a true Group 1 race. And with all due respects to Ms. Rose Zalago, I mean, she's an honest little thing and, you know, has got a good record and loves Caulfield. But, you know, we've got her running to a figure of 112 yesterday, and Giacchino Bay 116, which is pretty much what the second place getter in that race has run in the last 4 or 5 years. So we're pretty confident that's where the race sits. But, I mean, Mahuta, the only 4-year-old in the race, it shows you how weak the 4-year-old, you know, group is at the top level. And I think that's no surprise given the 3-year-old crop from last year. The quality's been taken out of that. So, but Mahuta pulled up lame, so I think he's worth another chance. But yeah, very suspect form line football for sure.
Good on you, Gary. Thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, pleasure, boys.
Yeah. Gary Crisp there from Racing and Sports. While we're at Caulfield, Voodoo Lad in the Rigger Roller Stakes yesterday. Extraordinary record. 8th win from 14 starts. Hasn't finished out of the placings. Second, first, first, first. Second, second, first. Third, first, second, first. Second, third, first. How could you not have been on Voodoo Lad?
No, look, good horses like that, aren't they? They just keep producing the goods. And it's funny, when you do a lot of form, winning horses tend to find ways to win, and horses that get beaten tend to find ways to get beaten. So, keen to get Darren Beedman on. I'm still smoking from Sarajevo, so we'll get him on and I'll ask him, should I stick with it or sack it?
Also at Caulfield yesterday, just quickly, Darren Weir, what a surprise, a double. Nick Hall, a double. Damien Oliver, a double. Russian Revolution in the Vane Stakes was pretty impressive. And I Am a Star has now won 3 of 4 in the Gazette.
Yeah, no, it was good racing there. And look, there was an exciting race. We're talking Sarajevo's race, of course, yesterday. Gee, that was an exciting finish. There were horses spread right across the track, and there's nothing better, is there, Kev, when a flashy grey comes charging from last to get up in the last stride. And that was the case yesterday, and we had a very excited Kim Moore after the race, and I believe we've got her on the phone.
Yeah, we do. And the best thing about this, Paul, is that we heard Kim interviewed before the race by Greg Radley on Sky Thoroughbred Central, and she was very explicit in her instructions to Tim Clark on how to ride the horse. He rode it picture perfect, because he dropped back at the end, came through the field and popped his nose through at the right time, and what a win. And if I was a horse, I'd love to be trained by Kim Moore, because I saw the interview she had with Ray Thomas one-on-one, and the love for the animals, it just comes through. And so with Oxford Poet and with His Majesty yesterday, you think it's a great story. And Kim's with us. Kim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. You must love it when you say to a jockey, hey, do it this way, and then he does it that way.
Yes, definitely. And we, you know, I mean, when you're doing that and going back, just the main thing was not to have him wide. First up, I said to Tim, you know, we just got to ride this horse for luck. Hopefully, if it works out and he wins, that's unreal, but don't go sitting 4 deep or anything. But Tim totally agreed, and he rode him perfectly, and it's heart attack material all the way down the straight. He was still last well into the straight. You could see he was full of running, and he just was weaving his way through and getting little gaps here and there, and he got a bit of a check at one stage. But, yeah, it was so exciting right down to the line.
And your husband tweeted, he was, heart was in his throat also. He's sharing the emotion of the whole ride.
Definitely. Well, Mark's away at the moment. His selector up in Townsville at the moment, so he was watching it on the on his iPad. But, yeah, he was very excited also.
Now, Kim, I know you're not allowed to have favourites. It's like mothers with favourite children, but is His Majesty, is it the favourite horse in the stable? Or you were quoted there yesterday, he's an amazing horse, I love him.
Well, he is. Because he's very gentle, and he really loves the pat and that sort of thing. But he's one of our favourites. Look, I just love all horses, so it's just the way it is. So they're all a bit spoiled at my place. And he got an extra few carrots this morning, that's for sure.
Now, what about, we're talking trials today, Kim. We're trying to help punters out what to look for in trials. And look, His Majesty's one of those horses. He seems to do everything pretty naturally. So whenever he trials, he looks to be charging home with a head full of steam. Is that what you want to see with all of your trialers or with your speedy horses? Do you like to see them pushed out and tested in trials?
It just depends what our plan is and, you know, what we're doing and if they're having two trials or one. And with Majesty, he only had the one trial. So, you know, he finished off, I mean, you would have seen his trial, he finished off really well. I mean, we don't sort of, you know, hammer him out or anything. We let him finish off in their own steam, and he trialled brilliantly and he pulled up really well. So it depended how well he pulled up, whether he went straight into a race or whether he had another trial.
And are the Cameron Handicap the target?
Yeah, the owners are keen to do that, and I think it's a good plan. We've just got to work out our next run from here.
Okay, and you did win that race last year, so going for back-to-back Cameron. So there's one stat we've got, and Kev loves his stats, and he's got a few to ask you, Kim, I believe.
Yeah, before we do that, Kim, Oxford Poet, just a big lug of a thing, just so brave again yesterday.
Definitely. You know, I was really proud of him. He tried hard, and the winner had, I think it was 7 or 8 kilos less than him, which is, you know, it's a big difference over 1,400. So, you know, he tried so hard, and I was still very happy with him. I thought he went very well.
Well, let's just run a couple of things past you. Going to do a little bit of a twist here, not only your own little bit of history here, but your husband as well. I know you follow the cricket, you must do, with your husband being a national selector. Do you know much about Mark's career, stats-wise?
Hey? I know a little bit. I know he was a champion.
Oh, too right he was. My favourite player by a long way. How many test matches did he play?
130.
128.
That's a tick.
Oh,
that's
close
tick.
Enough.
Yeah.
I've got to get a point for that.
Yeah, you do. What was his highest test score?
250?
No. 153 not out against India was his highest test score. 153 not out?
Oh, that's close. We'll give him 250.
what year did he play his first test?
You know, I wasn't with him back then, so you've got to forgive me.
I do forgive you. How about you pick a decade?
Okay, we'll say the 80s.
No, it's the 90s.
90s.
Oh, what about when he played his last test?
No idea.
Okay, we'll give you that one anyway, 2002. There we go. And do you know what he hit? He hit a century in his very first test against England on the Adelaide Oval, one of the great knocks. Do you have any idea how many he scored?
He got over 100.
He did. That's close right. Enough. 138 it is.
I think, Kev, you know more about Mark's career than Kim.
Look, I followed him for years. It's fantastic. I love Mark Waugh. So what about your own career here, Kim, with your first Group 1, of course? This is easy for you.
R2,
of
course.
Yeah, of course. What year?
206.
Yeah. And who rode? We've got a guest. We've got the guest coming on later to discuss it. So D. Beedman, the Group 1 winner for Kim Waugh. What a great day that was.
My favourite jockey.
Favourite jockey. Who won the Doomben Classic for you in 1998? The horse.
and fourth.
There you go. The Grafton Cup, same year.
Catapult.
Cameron Handicap last year, which Paul's already said.
Forget.
And the Winter Stakes this year, that was...
Oxford Tower,
there you go. Easy done. Kim, thank you for joining us on the wrap. Great fun with you, and congratulations on your horses. They're just two magnificent animals, the two we saw yesterday, and hopefully they provide plenty more wonderful memories for you and your owners as well.
Yes, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Kim. Kim Waugh here on Sky Sports Radio with the wrap at 21 to 10. Alrighty, one of the extraordinary wins yesterday, Paul, was in the fifth at Morfordville. A horse by the name of L.A. Tara won it paid, favourite, it paid 220 on the two, 225 on the fixed odds. But the extraordinary thing was the manner of its win. And we have the trainer with us, Ashton Downing, who we're going to speak to in just a tick. But just listen to how Terry McAuliffe called this win.
First of all, Bella Spose of L.A. Tara. Well, it won by 11 last week. It's off again here. And L.A. Tara's raced away, about five in front. From in second spot, Bella the South, then Clandarvon. Barge in Charge was next from Capital Line. Well, the winning margin was 11 last week. At the moment, it's looking like it's going to be a similar job today. L.A. Tara, it's a minute in front here. Battling away Bella the South with Clandarvon, then Barge in Charge and Capital Line. But L.A. Tara, I think it'll win by further than 11 today. It will. Get out your fingers and toes, judges. This is a monster win. L.A. Tara's won by, I'd say, a dozen. Capital Line second. Third, Bell of the South, and Clandarvon fourth.
Second, third, fourth, doesn't matter. It's all about the winner. And Ashton Downing is the trainer. She's with us this morning. Ashton, hello to you.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on.
That's fine. How do you feel listening back to that again? It was an extraordinary performance.
Absolutely unreal, yeah. I can't believe it still. I mean, his last win last week was a big deal, and then he did it all over again.
So tell us the story, how you've come to have L.A. Tara in your stable. I see he won first up at Wyong in his first start in 2011, and he's been through a few stables since. How long have you had L.A. Tara in your stable?
So we've had him just going a year. We got him last year in August. He was, John Croucher was sort of my partner, Nicky O'Shea, is a very big part of everything. He, I think he must have schooled him early days for John, and he had his eye on him since, from that day on. So as soon as he got wind of him for sale, he was straight onto it.
Now, what have you done with this horse? Because you go back through his form, and it's all scattered. He's last, he's ninth, he's eighth, and then all of a sudden, he just seems to have turned it around. He's won three of his past five. He's been winning by, 10, 11 lengths. He's a nine-year-old. They're not supposed to be getting better.
I know. I saw it this morning. I'm like, tell him, you're 9 years old. No, look, we do a lot with him. We spend a lot of time, money, everything. His feet weren't great, so we have farriers probably every two or three weeks checking him. He would get his feet done more often than any horse in the world. But he's just so happy, and that's obviously happy horses win races. So, yeah, he's fantastic at the moment.
No, I think keeping him happy, every trainer will tell you that. Now, what are the plans? Do we just keep going? Are there any races now you're starting to earmark that, 6 months ago you would have laughed at?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. To be honest, I haven't actually looked now because his rating's going to go up. So I do believe there's a race next week in Morfordville, which got him by the rules. That's four in a row. So, he's eaten all his dinner last night. He's down this morning, so we may even just push on again.
Now, outside of training, Ashton, if I wanted to get a nice bread roll or something like that, could you help me out there?
Absolutely, yes. So I work up in Handorf in Adelaide Hills. We've got a cafe called Handorf Cafe House, which I work at, which is my family. We've had that for 11 years. We used to own Otto's Bakery, which I'm sure a lot of people know of. I'm still there nearly 4 days a week, so you can definitely come up.
So tell us about your operation then, Ashton. How do you have time to be working in a bakery and performing your training duties? How many horses do you look after?
So we've got three in main work at the moment, and then we've got a few free trainers, which my partner, Nikki, works with and does all. He rides everything. He's absolutely unreal. So in the morning, I get up early, do the horses, and then I dash off up the hill there to go to work. And I've got also horses in Harndorf, which we bred, so I feed them. And then off to work, and then back down in the afternoon, do it all over again.
How long have you been doing it?
So... when did we start? Easter last year was kind of when we started. March would be, so a year and a bit.
Geez, you haven't been at it for long, and this horse has given you some great thrills in that short space of time.
Absolutely, yeah, he's been fantastic. So, but my first starter actually was pretty exciting with a winner, which I started off my career very well, in Clare in Easter last year, so that was a great start to the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it's a terrific start to your career, Ashton. Thanks for giving us your time this morning. We'll definitely keep an eye on LA Tara and just see how far this 9-year-old gets to. We'd love to see him sneak across the border in spring for some of those 2,500-metre races around the Carnival Fringe. I mean, it'd be a real good story. So keep up the hard work. Keep those piping hot bread rolls fresh coming out in the morning. And as I said, thanks so much for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you. Have a lovely day.
Good on you, Ashton. Thanks for your time there. Ashton Downing, that's a super story. Morfordville yesterday, apart from LA Tara, Aaron Boyd rode a double. Richard Jolly, the trainer, had a double. Around the grounds in Faux Paul. Kendall Grange yesterday, great outing for the Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott stable. They had a day out of treble, races 3, 4, and 6. The Narendra Cup was on yesterday. Brendan Ward had a double at Narendra, but Magnaro won the cup. The short price 5-6-year-old gelding has now won 9 of 42, 130 grand. It's won. Belmont yesterday, Willie Pike rode 3. First among equals for Paul Harvey, picked up the Newmarket. Jordan Turner had a couple of wins. Matt McGowan rode 2 at Eagle Farm. Now, the Casino Gold Cup was on yesterday, worth $25,000. Crooked Stick, a horse ridden by Brendan Newport, trained by Stephen Jones. 6-year-old mare, 7 wins, 33 starts, has won $150,000 in prize money, owned by the one and only Jerry Harvey.
He could do with the money, couldn't he?
Yeah, the 14 grand from yesterday's win will go right on the... go in his pocket. But Jerry Harvey there gets a win with Crooked Stick in the Casino Gold Cup yesterday. Dan Griffin had a double at the Gold Coast. Cole Rain yesterday, Chelsea Hall and Mark Pegas also had doubles. So there's a bit of a rundown of what happened around the grounds yesterday. On the wrap at 13 to 10, in just a moment, we're going to chat with one of the greatest, Darren Beedman, here on the wrap.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find out U-Butte online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help, no problem.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at widelinewindowsanddoors.com.au.
Here at TAB, we've set you up with a great chance of converting the extras as we approach the business end of the NRL season. We've got some great NRL offers available on every game right through to round 25, as well as our massive range of markets including head-to-head, first try scorer and the popular line over-under double. So take advantage of TAB's amazing odds and offers by taking a quick tap on your mobile, jumping on tab.com.au or stepping inside a TAB venue.
Gamble responsibly.
At Bing Lee, buy any Beko dishwasher and receive a bonus year's supply of Fairy dishwashing tablets. A fantastic bonus from Beko and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in-store for details.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches and rings. Z&Z were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. For official NRL watches and jewellery, engagement or wedding rings, corporate gifts or remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and St George Junior Referees.
On Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Rap.
It is the Wrap, Darren Beedman. In just a moment, with Paul Joyce here this morning and Kevin Wolfe for the Wrap, and looking at How you read barrier trials, Paul? You've run this past a few of our guests today. What they look for, and in terms of a punter, what information can you pass on?
Yeah, look, I love watching barrier trials. I spend a lot of time doing it, and I do it because I do find that there's a lot of value in finding the right horses first up. I think the market in general reacts to what's happened more recently, so a horse that's won a couple in a row will obviously have a lot more support than a horse that hasn't raced for 3 or 4 months. So you do tend to get a little bit of value in the marketplace if you find those right first up horses. So that's why I put the time into trials. What I really look for is probably three things, especially early in a horse's career. I love looking at a horse's action, just like an athlete at the Olympics at the moment. You'll find the best sprinters have a beautifully balanced, natural, flowing action. I look for the pressure that a jockey applies on a horse in a trial, because obviously you want to back a horse that's got plenty left up the sleeve coming through the trial. So I don't usually like backing horses that are ridden right out or hit with the whip too much in a trial. It's more the horses that are hard held back in the pack and just working their way through the field under their own steam, a bit like what Kim Moore was saying with His Majesty's trial. And the other thing I look for, which may be a bit different to most punters, I really focus on what they do after they go past the winning post. So for me, it's not they've hit the line, let's stop looking at the trial. I'll look at 50, 100 metres past the post, even 200 metres past the post, and see which horses are still charging along under their own steam. So there's three things I really look for in a trial, and I find that it works, you know, well. And as I said, I really do get those value winners. My best value winners are usually first up.
I've got two questions for you. One of them, what do we make out of the two trials that Winx has had now that we know what we know in terms of the operation she had? And the exposure of barrier trials now in terms of mainstream coverage, it's just so much higher than it was, what, 5 years ago even. A barrier trial has almost got the relevance of a race.
Well, it does in New South Wales. Ask the poor old Victorian punters. They're still betting without any official trials. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're putting up with down there, but that's their own problem. Here, we're covering it perfectly. Racing New South Wales, Sky Channel, we've got so much information now for punters off the trials. And going back to Winx's trials, look, I think she hasn't been asked to do anything yet in either trial, so she's ticked both boxes there that she's done it under her own steam. They've both been on very sort of soft to heavy tracks. So I think Chris Waller's obviously had to keep a fair bit up the sleeve. So it's a bit hard to say she's flying because she hasn't shown us that she's flying. But by the same token, you can't say she's doing anything wrong either. So I think we've just got to wait to the Warwick Stakes now and put a bit of faith in her form. And her form says she'll win the Warwick Stakes.
All righty. Well, our next guest, you'll be able to continue the conversation with him. He's one of the greats, over 1,100 wins, a stack of Group 1s, 44 thereabouts. Winners all over the place, and considered by many to be the greatest. Darren Beedman, now working for Godolphins. With us, Darren Beedman, good morning. Thanks for joining in the wrap this morning.
Yeah, good morning, fellas.
Godolphin, we had John O'Shea on the show a few weeks ago, and he was glowing in his praise of the work that yourself and others do for the organisation. Can you explain your role for Godolphin?
Officially, assistant trainer, but I think I'm everything to everyone. I think this pretty much covers it. You know, It's a 12 to 14 hour a day, 6 days a week. It's really full on, but really love it.
And are you like the go between, say, between John and the jockeys and the owners, and is that the sort of part of your role as well?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Yeah, work very closely with John. You know, track works in the morning. We spend Monday, Wednesday, Friday out at Osborne Park. Our fast mornings out there. And then, you know, you've got your barrier trials, race day duties, programming, you know, talking with the jocks. So it's a really full-on role.
Now, obviously, you get a lot of feedback, Darren, from the jockeys regarding barrier trials, and it's very important to find out where horses are at heading into the start of their campaigns. When you're a jockey and you rode, you know, absolute champions like Saintly and Lonro, Did you know when you first jumped on those horses that they were something special?
Yes, yeah. Even when you ride them work of a morning, you get a certain feel for a horse. And I guess, you know, you track work and then barrier trials, you're next port of call. And then it's, you know, on a race day. So barrier trials, I think, are an important part of the horse's programming and training regime. It gives you a good indication where they're at, and you can either step them out on race day or you can go back to the trials or give them a bit longer.
So as a jockey, Darren, if you trialled, say, a Saintly there early on and before it even been to the races, do you just then say, look, I'm staying on this horse from day one?
Like a, you you certainly like to, you know, that's worked out along the way. But you know, there's other commitments with trainers. I remember I used to do a little bit of riding for John O'Shea when he was out at Randwick, and I was riding for Hawksy and on a permanent basis as well. And I ended up riding a horse for John, a horse called Racing to Win. I think I rode him in his four barrier trials and never got to ride him on race day. But when I rode him the first time, you know, you just knew that he was going to be a horse with a lot of ability and be a Group 1 performer. And sometimes it's a little bit frustrating when you can't get on them, but I had other avenues and other options. But look, you do get a very good feel for a horse, and it just gives you that little bit of confidence going into race day.
Now, what about the Godolphin horses at the moment? Should I give up on Sarajevo, Darren, or should I give him another chance?
Oh, no, look, I think he's a type of horse that if he probably would have probably drawn another two or three gates in close. I think the gate yesterday sort of brought him undone. He could have just been another length closer, but look, I think he's just a short course horse, and he's got an explosive turn of foot if you can just rest him for the first part of the race and save him for the last bit. So look, I'd stick with him.
And we stick with Allergic?
Oh, definitely. Look, you go back to his three-year-old form. He was running against Werther and a good horse from Perth. I forget actually the name in the South Australia Derby that he competed in. But definitely, he's a horse to follow in these early lead-up races over the Spring Carnival.
All right. What about Magic Hurricane, Darren? I thought it closed off surprisingly well, considering how gross he looked in the yard yesterday.
Yeah. Look, he was probably, like, he is definitely big, the horse, but he is a bit misleading. He is a very big barreled horse, so but I too was quite impressed with his run, especially the last 1,500 metres where he started to close off under a big weight. And look, he's well short of his best over that distance. Won't be till he sort of gets towards the 2,400, the Metrop and races like that he'll come into his own. But another run and he'll start to see the best of him, I think.
Now, just a couple of horses that you would have seen at home, and now that Osborne Park, that a couple of punters have tweeted to me over tonight to ask you about. How's Astern coming along? Old North was one that got quite a few asks, and also Archives.
Yeah. First one, being Astern, he trialled the other day. He didn't winter that well, and John just had to give him another few weeks in the paddock just to try and get him to where he wanted him to get him so he could start off his program. And to John's credit, the horse, it's worked out perfectly. The horse looks magnificent. He trialled the other day at Randwick, and he went very, very well. Brenton Abdallah rode him and said the horse has come back in good form. And, you know, he's quite an explosive sprinter, and He's matured physically and mentally, which is a positive.
Old North?
Old North, he had a little bit of a setback. He was supposed to trial the last trials at Randwick, but then he trialled on Friday at Warwick Farm. He was a little bit fresh, a little bit above himself. He's matured. He was always a little bit like a coat hanger last preparation. He was just doing it on raw ability. But he's furnished into a really nice colt. He's a real long row in the sense that he'll get better as he gets older. And the more time you give him, the better he'll be. So John's kept that in mind. And look, he's got a lot of residual fitness as he raced over the Queensland Carnival, but his trial was very impressive the other day at Warwick Farm.
And the final one, the real exciting three-year-old now, Archives.
Yes, look, he always showed us that he had ability. We thought that he'd probably nearly win first up, but he got into a little bit of trouble in the race, which brought him undone. But he's just gone from one step to the next in a positive way. And 7 furlongs to a mile, he's got he's got the strength to be able to carry him through into something that could be a decent race. And I think, yeah, the helmets, probably 7 furlongs, mile, maybe even a little bit further, that's when they're really going to start to come into their own.
Darren, before we let you go...
Before we let you go here this morning, I'd like you to listen to this. This is great.
The straight from Mummify, there's the gap coming for Lonro. Sandaxon tries to pocket him, Beatman in a bit of trouble trying to force through, he got checked, the champ, and Sandaxon hit the front now from Mummify. Lonro, the champion's in desperate trouble, Del Zeo's gone past him, 150 to go,